Yeah, I think the, how to say, like the DeepIn use case, not really from
Yes.
math ecosystem, and DeepIn plus
Yes.
AI is really cool these days. We did an
Yeah.
investment in a project related with AI and some little bit in DeepIn. It's called Tripper.ai. It's fascinating concept that it's not, eventually we are not gonna use our brain to social anymore. Eventually we're gonna use agents, AI agents.
Yes.
So what about just create a lot of AIs that just chat to themselves? Social to
Yeah.
themselves. So that's Tripper.ai. There's other people just trying to do different kind of experiments on the real world impact of crypto. It's still early,
Yes.
but I'm quite bullish on that area as well. So we did have some investment financially or strategically in this area. That's one thing. Another thing is I think we are lack of good consumer apps.
Yes. Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. And on today's episode, I have a very special guest with you. I'm interviewing Suji from the Mask Network and also from the Bonfire Union Fund. It is a $100 million fund investing in enterprising founders, startups, and amazing people like the listeners of my podcast. So today I will be asking him about his journey into blockchain. I'll also be talking about how he got started with the Mask Network and what problems it solves, and also what are some of his insights. Nothing in this podcast should be taken as investment advice. And finally, if you enjoyed this episode, please share it with another builder, with another developer, with another founder in the Web3 space. With that out of the way, let's get into it. Welcome, Suji. Welcome to the podcast. It's an honor to have you here. And yeah, let's just get into it. How did you get involved in crypto blockchain? Because none of us grew up, we didn't, this field didn't exist when we were kids. How did you end up in this field?
So at the very beginning, I was a jurist, an engineer, and also a journalist, or how do you say, like an activist, right?
Yes.
People who care about the world and the
Yes.
geopolitics, the technology, hacking. I was born in Shanghai and I grew up there until my high school, and then moved to the state for higher education, all the other stuff. I was engineer. I was engineer back in many years. I did programming on the ancient computer my parents bought to me back in the late 90s when I was a kid. And I discovered another personal hobby is writing or journalism, right? I wrote a lot of reports for different media. Some are famous, some are small. Some use my real name, some just like little columns. So I found these are really connected. And one of the reasons I found internet was fascinating is it is a strong medium that changing the message. It is the message, right? That's
Yes.
the famous saying of McLuhan, that medium is the message, right?
Yes.
And when I was told there's something called blockchain, or in the early days, only Bitcoin,
Yes.
I was really into the ideology that there's a Batman, there's a Zolo, right? There's an anonymous guy, Satoshi, or
Yes.
a girl, a bunch of group of people, maybe
Yes.
invented this protocol called Bitcoin.
Yes.
And it sounds impossible. Like, how can you be anonymous online with all these people watching you? That's pre-Snowden age, but I am aware of there's so many surveillance around the internet. So this like internet myth, right? A more than myth
More
that
than
an
myth.
urban legend,
Yes.
there's a Batman in our town. There's a
Yes.
Batman in our town. Cyberspace. So I
Yes.
was first encountered this ideology. I wrote some piece of it for journalism purpose for different small media. I moved to the state around 17. And I was lucky that I went to U of I, University of
Yes.
Illinois, that it's famous for engineering school. It's
Yeah.
a public school. No one really care about the elite. There's not too much social status, a lot of
Yeah.
immigrants. It is famous for, during the dot-com age, it's famous
Yes.
for the browsers, right? The Netscape
Yes.
Navigator, when Mark
Yes.
Andreessen wrote the first prototype there.
Yeah.
There's still some, I think still some like Jane in school, in
Yeah.
college. One of my professor was Professor Andrew Miller.
Yes.
I didn't talk to class, but I was like panning all around the engineering school, just jumping to random class and listen to these guys.
Yes.
2016, they have some like class, 2015, 2016, they have some class about cryptography and smart contract. I found it very interesting. So 2014, I bought my first Bitcoin legally in the United States through Coinbase. Before that, my Bitcoin was from Taobao, the Chinese Amazon. Which back in the days, you're allowed to do that. You just ask people online on the QQ group. Anyone selling Bitcoin? I want to buy something. Yes. Here's my bank account. Here's my Alipay. Thanks for Chinese. No one care. There's no ban that time. I bought some, not really a lot. And I legally bought some more in the States through my Coinbase account. I remember the price that time was $300-ish, $400-ish per Bitcoin. Yeah. And I was around the community, but I didn't really. I didn't really think about maybe it's going to be a business around it back in that time. It's around 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Until 2016, I spent a lot of time on writing and journalism. I spent two of my college year in the state, 1 year in Japan at the University of Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And during that time, I took a field trip, field study inside the Fukushima nuclear plant.
Yeah.
After the earthquake, 5 years after the earthquake, they opened up, the Japanese government opened up the application. Yes. So if you're from the international NGO or international organization, you can apply for the entry permit for the polluted area, the radioactive polluted area, and you can go inside the nuclear planet to just look around. And I did a lot of report on it. One of them was a top news in the Chinese media. I found out that Internet's like nuclear power.
Yeah.
If it is in hand of good people, in the hand of the people, it will be good. It will be prosperity. It will bring us future and value and light.
Yeah.
If it is in hands of governments, and as we all know, most of the governments are corrupted, even through the democracy process, most of the government are corrupted. It will just be fuck up, just like the nuclear plants. It will be super fuck up. And Japan have some decent democracy, and the whole Fukushima nuclear thing is a fuck up show, right? So I realized internet is more powerful than nuclear from the bad side, from the good side. And we are losing it. We're losing it, and we're losing ourselves to a dystopia. That's something I realized. And I recall my interesting days learning Bitcoin and Ethereum. I figured out, okay, I should do something. And I was super into media and journalism and writing. And I was an engineer. I know the cryptography. I know the coding. So I was thinking about, what about the social network? What about the largest news agency, Facebook, Twitter? These are the largest and the biggest and most powerful news agency at that time. It's not Wall Street Journal. It's not your time. It's the social media. What about them? At that time, most of the crypto founder was talking about banked unbanked, which I feel very important as well. I feel it's a very important mission. I agree. And I personally invest in many projects. I help a lot of these projects. I think it's very important, but it's just not the finish. It's not the end goal. Yeah. The end goal is to not only save people's bank, save people's soul, that you can speak freely. You can speak freely. You can express freely. Interact freely and eventually save the internet. That's the reason I figured out I should do something. In 2017, I dropped out from the college. I started a business called Mass Network Today. First registered company in Japan, then one in the US, and we use some offshore entity because there's more unfriendly environment in the banking because you're in the crypto. So we have go offshore. But that's how we started in 2017. And all these things goes back to 2014, 2015. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, very interesting. Can I comment on something on the unbanked thing? I used to think the same thing that yes, crypto will bank the unbanked. But in the last cycle, what I saw, the real unbanked that crypto did bank were the under 18-year-olds, mostly in Southeast Asia, like in Philippines, Vietnam. And due to them playing games, they got experience of holding the first digital asset that they earned through that. And those were the people, and then they could then go out and sell those and make some money and their first experience was digital wallet before even having like a bank account, because most under 18-year-olds don't have a bank account, let alone in Philippines, Vietnam, Southeast Asia, Indonesia. And that's why those games became so big among the youngest. Those were the real unbanked. That's the 100 million that crypto got introduced to in a way. So that's what I thought was quite interesting in the last cycle. We'll see what happens in this cycle. And every cycle, I feel like there's a different narrative and there's a different utility that comes out of it. I first got introduced to Bitcoin in 2012, and it's been very interesting. And I was initially a critic of Bitcoin, of crypto, because I didn't understand it properly. Only later on realizing that, oh my goodness, this is so powerful. This is so liberating, just like what you realized many years before me.
I'm not that OG. I just learned through different paths. Yes.
So tell me a bit about Mask or Mask Network and what problem does it solve? Yeah.
So as I mentioned, I was a journalist. Yes. And in 2016, when I was doing the field study and partnered with some large international media in the Fukushima nuclear plant,
yes,
I realized internet is like nuclear, right? And we need to save the internet. A lot of people are trying to save the financial part of it.
Yes.
Through DeFi and crypto layer one, layer two payments. But very few people is trying to save the cultural value and entertainment value, or more like social capital of it, which I think are the Web2 example are social networks, right? And the largest one are Facebook and Tencent. In 2017, when I started business, I just think about, okay, we need to do social network, some kind of like combination of different social networks or some kind of like middlewares that eventually gonna fix the problem of social networks. So we might do some social networks. We might connect different social networks, but we want to fix it. So at first we call ourselves Maskbook. Later on, we rename into Mask Network, just try to get like broader sense. We have integration. We have the ideology of build something on top of the Web2 plugins, yes. Web2 web platforms. So that's how it started. And I think at first it's underrated. People don't understand what's going on with the non-financial world of crypto. People don't understand. People think that crypto is about finance, banking. Yes. Fintech, money, and trading. Great. I agree as well, but I think it's more than that, right? So at first, it's very hard, and I used my own Bitcoin, sold some of my Bitcoin to fund the company. But we are lucky that we have a lot of like early angel investor and people just think about, just want to try it out, just want to invest and help the ideology. And we survived the whole 2017 as a huge bull market, and we survived the 3 year beer after the bull market.
Yes.
And we build different functionalities. We find partners. We build trust around the communities. So in 2020, 2021, we launched many functionalities, such as you can send encrypted posts on Twitter. You can tipping on Twitter. You can send a red pocket. You can do lucky job. You can even raise money on Twitter. Yeah. And we have many supporters, right? From Uniswap founder, he was retweeting our posts because we can allow trading on Twitter. And to Ethereum founder Vitalik, he posted a red pocket because it's funny. It's the Lunar New Year. It's the Chinese.
Like
everyone just want to. Yeah, Hongbao. Everyone just like randomly send money. And again, in Web2, you cannot do that because first, you need KYC everyone, right? Second, is the social network is broken. It's isolated information island. We can aggregate them together. We become partnered with MakerDAO on the DAI, Redpocket, and there's many OG support us. In 2021 and 2020, and also there's a super big news. I think people have not really understand the outcome yet is the deplatformization movement related with the US presidential election of 2020. Previous President Donald Trump was deplatformized, and a lot of the service provider refused to provide service for alternative social platforms. There's many alternative social platforms. So personally, I don't buy a lot of his political opinion, but I just feel like it's not right to deplatformize an ex-president or whatever, or like anyone like him or any other people. They're not doing anything illegal. Even if they're doing something illegal, they need to have due process to have a court order or whatever to start a due process or to deplatformize him or other users. Especially I was born in China, so I understand the problem of censorship. I'd say like the American internet is declining, it's degenerating because there's a very dangerous slope there. And we witnessed a lot of user growth, right? Not only people who care about the US politics, but people who generally don't feel safe on the traditional social media is run to our ecosystem. And we were lucky that we have everything built before that. We have our functionalities launched around 2019. In 2020, we have a huge year. 2021, we launched our governance token, Mask, MASK. Then we were listed on all the major exchange from Coinbase, Binance, Bit, et cetera. Yeah, it's a wild ride because in the bull market, people gave us crazy value as well. Like Mask was valued as like $5 to $6 billion. I was like, oh my God, we don't really have much users. We just have like 500,000 whatever users and don't value us at $5 billion.
Yes.
But that's the bull market thing. But even now we have a solid token with solid community and being traded widely. People still love us. We still have like around 500 million FTV. I still think it's undervalued, but overall, the whole social network, whole non-financial use case of cryptography is largely undervalued. So this is our story. From 2016, I had the idea. In 2017, we had the business until 2021. It's the first cycle.
Yeah. What's something unique that you learned after trying to build Mask that you didn't know before?
So I'd say a lot of people think financial world, like banking, trading, exchange, SEC, DFTC, is highly regulated, right?
Yes.
And it's very hard to do, very hard to deal with. There's a lot of compliance risk. Yeah, I agree with that. But I'd say social network or let people speak is much more harder to do. There's more regulatory issue we haven't thought about back in the days. We haven't really able to just, we don't even have any clues about these things exist back in the days. It's getting worse and worse. So I love to call all the startup entrepreneurs to do something on top of our platform or other like compatible solutions. I think this is still undervalued. Yeah.
Yep. That's very interesting. And what advice do you have for a founder that is building a product on the social side of things of crypto like you are, not purely on the financial DeFi side of things?
I think two things. Like one, I believe a lot of people, especially crypto or Web3 founder, understand the Web3 community pretty well. But I think they need to talk to the real people outside of more DeGen community. Like people sacrifice their life to did those like interviews in Ukraine or Iraq, Iran. I've talked to these people. I know how dangerous it is. I know like how precious this information is. They should not get censored. And that's one thing. Talk to the people that outside of the small crypto community, no matter that's activist or people who just ship posting on Twitter or people who just like talking about GameStop on Reddit and get banned. Talk to all these people.
Yes.
And I believe a lot of the crypto social founder have not done this. They have not really talked to these people. They have not did any of these.
Yeah.
They should. Another thing is travel to as many countries as you can. Because there's very different use case of social network. The use case of money is similar. It's very similar all over the world. Because I give you $1, give me an apple. Right?
Yes.
I give you $10, give me a stock. And I use stock as a collateral. I trade a loan. That's pretty similar. Like the modern capitalism world is built upon these kind of things. You don't see there's a cultural difference. You don't see there's a 2,000-year, 5,000-year legacy there because that's how it works in the modern financial system. But financial, non-financial use case, especially social network, gaming, entertainment is very different. So I was born in China. I studied in the States for years and I was in Japan for years. I was in Thailand. I was in many other small countries, Montenegro, Palau, El Salvador, Panama, all these countries. And I talked to all these different people. They have different use cases, right? They have extremely different use cases of social networks.
Yeah.
And when I asked them why you use this app, not the other major one that people in the US or in Asia we use, they just gave me some random answer like, oh, the language support is not good. Or we're in the Middle East. The word is from, the writing order is not from left in this
right.
Yeah, there are so many different things. You mentioned that we have the B Bonfa Union, right? It's our investment arm. It's a $100 million UMVC, long-term strategic vehicle we have.
Yes.
When we did those investments, because we become investor, I'm not trying to teach the founder, and they have to learn the lessons, just like me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I try to tell them, okay, just try to realize you're not the default sample of the social user of the world. There's people with 5,000-year cultural legacy where they just don't do the same thing. And that's the problem. I think most of the Web3 social projects today, they have not realized. And the good old ways of building an American social network in Harvard and people just copy pasting in every college, like the Facebook story, is not going to be successful again. It's not going to work. This is my advice. I saw a lot of those great entrepreneur founders trying to build social networks. And a lot of people are trying to say, hey, oh, we're going to do the WeChat mini app. I said, dude, have you ever used WeChat? Because if you're not living in China, you're not able to use WeChat nowadays. Then, I use WeChat. I'm like, dude, if you don't really have Chinese friend, you cannot use WeChat. Because they don't allow you to register. They have enough users. They don't want to bring foreigners. A lot of people are talking about the kimchi premium, right? The Korean retail is buying crypto like crazy.
Yes.
Have you ever used Kakao?
Yeah.
Kakao is the largest social network. Kakao is the shareholder of Apbit, which is the largest trading platform exchange in Korea. And if you don't know these, if you don't have the ability to read this language, even though I don't really speak Korean, I speak Japanese, I speak some Korean, I try to learn every culture from the deepest place of my heart, respect them.
Yeah.
Something I think a lot of these founders, they lack of. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. I always advise. I do travel, but not nowhere nearly as much as you do. And I do get to learn a lot from different cultures. And there is a lot of value. You only understand once you are there on how people are using different tech. And I feel like there is not every founder or not everyone in US, but there is a slight arrogance on that our solution is the best. It is not really, or often it's not really the case. There are more elegant solutions that exist out of US at times I have seen, and that the US startups end up copying the solutions that are being done overseas. And it's taken a while. It's how social shopping has been very big in China for quite a while.
For 5 years. Since Pinduoduo, Pindidi started in WeChat. And the reason Pindidi started is just in WeChat don't want to open the gate to Alibaba, and they just did all these things. And it's related to censorship because WeChat censoring Alibaba's link. And people just don't realize that link can get censored. So that's like frames are really popular these days, like Alphacaster, right?
Yeah.
And I just told them, dude, link can get censored. Said, what? Link can get censored? Yeah, it happens in China 10 years ago. American just follow. The American government, the American big tech just going to follow the same path. It's easy copy-paste. Yeah, and again, we need to learn. Because social is much more, a non-financial use case, and the social and gaming and the team is much more complicated than different culture. We need to absorb their lessons. And we need to do something like multicultural, multinational, and multi-language. Eventually, it's a true cyberspace, cyberian on social network. It's not American or like Chinese one.
Yes.
Yeah. And as a founder, another big advice is we all know what happened to CZ Binance, and we all know what's going to happen for TikTok, like social and congressional hearing, definitely. Another big advice is as a social network or social-related platform founder, you should forget your nationality. You should not have any nationalities. Yeah, that's
100%, I agree.
It's very important. And it's hard for people from big countries. Like, it's very hard for people from United States or China or country
even
with
India.
Very long history.
Yes.
Even India, like you should forget that if you have that nationality.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So do you think in the next 6 months or sometime, TikTok will be banned in US? Just like how TikTok did get banned in India. It was very big. It was the biggest social media platform at that time, at the time that people were spending on it. And it is now the biggest fund in US by the time that people spend on it. Not by the numbers alone, but by the time. Do you think
there's nothing stop it to be banned? Yes, yeah. The Congress have already made some decision. Not for
but Senate
not,
needs not to the make process. Now it's supposed to Senate, you know, and then
they may appeal to the court for some constitutional violation, whatever, but I don't think it's going to work. Maybe they got lucky this time again, because TikTok got lucky last time during the Trump administration. But probably it's not solved. As long as you have a server, as long as you have this, we call technical term is the master-slave relationship between the server and the client, you're not going to solve the problems. And as long as you have the regulator like OSEC, you have the regulator like the Chinese CIA, Chinese Administration of Cyberspace, as long as these guys exist, this problem is not going to be easily solved. It's because they just want to do their job. It's hard to say. I'd say this way, like these jobs are just evil jobs. Okay, but these are the people who have to do their job.
Yeah.
We need to have some systematic ways. And I feel it's really that. Not about the TikTok or the Trump, the Twitter ban, because I know these are centralized. When there's a court order, when there's a process, no matter if you're comfortable or not, when there's a real process there, you have to follow the legal system, the system, the country you're incorporated in. And TikTok is firstly banned in China, which would, why they have the Douyin, the Chinese version, and they banned in India. They don't even have an India version. And this time in the state, okay, probably another the same thing. And I recall when I was a kid, Google was banned in China. And again, there was a due process to ban Google, but didn't make it right. As a centralized entity, that's the single point of failure. But again, as a decentralized community, as a member of decentralized community from crypto community or Web3 community, I feel really sad because people are still fighting for those maxi game. Right. Think about it. Like, okay, we are friends with people creating. We're friends with people working with Nasser team, the Bitcoin social network. Jetasi was the major backer.
Yes.
We also met it with Blue Sky, that is very similar to Mastodon.
Yes, Mastodon.
The federated social network. And I believe our U.S. entity, our equity U.S. entity, is the largest, one of the largest donor to the Mastodon Foundation. Yeah. Not big one, but we are one of the largest donors.
Yeah.
And again, these three guys don't talk. Nasdaq people, Blue Sky people, Mastodon people, also federated, they don't talk. Because some, like the Web 2.5 people think, oh, you're Bitcoin, you're like crypto. And Nasdaq people like, oh, we are Bitcoin, you guys don't have crypto. And then more funny thing is like, we become like more investor of Lens, and we have some partnership with them on the client, on the application. Lens is based on the EVM chain, right? Ethereum address. Yeah. And then the Ethereum people are not talking to the Nasdaq people. Oh, yeah, you're a Bitcoin maxi. And the other side is, oh, you're an East maxi. Then the Solana people come again, whatever. And again, like, if you ask any of them, if you ask all these social network, oh, I'm new to decentralized social network. I'm also new to crypto. I have some USDT on Tron. On the Justin Science chain, can I tip you guys? Like, oh no, I'm not going to take that, you know, that chain. But oh my god, people are gonna tip, okay? People are just gonna tip, use the whatever cheap chain they can find. So this is the sad thing that bothers me a lot these days. Is I think Facebook, I do have the sauce, I do have the connection to people in those big giant company like Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Tencent. I know a lot of these like senior VP level guy, C-level guy. These guys talk more frequently than us. I don't doubt a senior member of Tencent can have a conversation with VP of Facebook bi-monthly or they meet in Singapore to have a really deep conversation about collaboration or just chat. But okay, what's the last time Bitcoin people talked to the same people about social network? I didn't recall that. So that's so sad. It's that our enemy is working together. And we're divided into the Maxi game.
No, it's just because blockchain, crypto, Web3, I don't know how you define the space, but this has always been very tribal. There's like the Bitcoin Maxi and Ethereum Maxi and Solana Maxi, or they have these, like it's very tribal. They have their tribe and then everyone else is the enemy instead of thinking that this is all one big family. I don't know. What's your opinion on that?
I don't know. I just feel from people outside of the crypto or cryptographic decentralization federation, if you told them decentralized social network, decentralized media, like, oh yeah, I remember Trump get banned and he went to something like to social, that thing you mentioned. Mm-hmm. From people outside crypto, it's the same. Okay.
Yeah.
I know some are really religious, some are VC backed, some are Bitcoin maxi, but we need to talk. And that's the problem. Yeah, that's the thing I think personally I care a lot. So a little bit back to the topic, we started the Bonfire Union Fund. It's not that big fund. When we expand it to now the AUM is around 1 million, we just try to invest and help everyone we can help in this industry to the
So what are the type of founders you're looking for, or what are the type of startups you're looking for to invest in from Bonfire? What criteria do you have for that?
Yeah, so first, we understand there's a lot of undervalued areas, right? Right now, social network, non-financial use case, GameFi, like non-Ponzi GameFi, that people love to, something quick, some game people love to play, applications, because most VCs in applications not able to exit. We invest in these, and we also invest in Leke as well. We're one of the first investors in Skrull, like Leke Chain. We also invest in some other cool stuff. I think it's more about founders. And since we are the operator ourselves, I still operate the mass network team on a daily basis. I still look into the products. We use all these industrial solutions. We use all the SaaS. We use all the infra service. We know the pinpoint. So we are not like financial VCs. And we have a lot of engineers in the team. We have around 100 plus full-time employees in the team. So that's the advantage we have. That's why we not going to back some like short-term flipper coins.
Okay, or something.
And another lucky thing is because when people raise a VC, there's life cycle, right? There's say, hey, this fund is 5 year, 8 year life cycle. Yeah, we do have life cycle, but we are the majority of, we are the major LP ourselves. We are the single largest LP of the fund. So we have lots of things.
That's fantastic.
About the exit strategies, or let's say how to help the founders. That's something we are good at. And on the other side, I still run mass network on a daily basis, help the product and try to do something more consumer-like, create more interesting products around under the big mass umbrella. But that's the advantage, and that's fun. And we are looking for cool founders, like true believers. Yeah. Right? That's what we're looking for. No matter what domains, what area they're working on.
Yes. Well, that's fantastic. What's your view with what sort of trends do you see when it comes to crypto, Web3 for 2024, for most of the rest of this year? Where do you see things going?
So right now we are in some kind of the bull market. Really so. Yesterday in this week was a big chance to buy in the dip, maybe. But I feel like from financial perspective, crypto will go really mainstream. Yeah. Last cycle, we have El Salvador, a country which I visited, and I had the honor to meet the cousin of President Bukele and other government officials. But overall, that's a small country. But this cycle, we might have other bigger countries, bigger pension fund, bigger sovereign fund. Really invest in ETF. So that's from financial perspective, right?
Yes.
But from builder perspective, we need more builder as well. Just give you one example. Okay, Lens, Forecaster, let's say social, Mask, we're early social, but there's other great guys like Lens, Forecaster, whatever.
Yes.
There's less than 10 different implementation of clients with all these social networks are together, right? Or Blue Sky. Probably Blue Sky have more. But if you look into the Web 2.5 one, or let's say more Web 2 one, federated one, Madstone, there's over 100 different clients from my knowledge. And more than half of them, like dozens of them, are really decent studio and independent developers. And they run their own server, their own instance, which is the nodes to operate the social network. If you run an instance, if you run nodes, then you can run a block of the systems.
Yeah.
Just different costs, different level of costs. You need to learn some cryptography, but it's the same thing.
Right.
The amount of developers, the numbers of developers are still tiny.
Yeah.
And the number of true believers are still tiny.
Very small. Like the developer. I'm sure you read the developer report by Electric Capital that comes out once a year. And it's only 30 to 60,000 developers in the Web3 space, like who are blockchain developers. Most of them still are in the EVM side of things, but it's very tiny compared to 30 million developers in the Web2 space. So I do think there's a long way to go for us.
Yeah, and most of people are building something that's already been done 100 times, right? Chain is fine, but what's the use case of that chain? Like, an infra is super expensive, whatever, infra with big VC names, again, it's been done 100 times. And other thing the founder wanted is try to list on some big exchange, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's profitable from financial perspective, but we are looking for builders. So we host a lot of events, and I just generally feel there's more and more builder coming in the cycle as well. But
That's very cool. On the consumer side, because we are in that space, I'm always on an outlook for, I'm looking out for any interesting apps. These don't have to be just from your ecosystem. Any other interesting apps or utility that you have seen in blockchain or crypto that you are quite bullish about or you found it very cool?
Yeah, I think the, how to say, like the Deepin use case, not really from mass ecosystem, and Deepin plus AI is really cool these days. We did an investment in a project related with AI and some little bit in Deepin. It's called Tripper.ai. It's a fascinating concept that it's not, eventually we are not going to use our brain to social anymore. Eventually we're going to use agents, AI agents.
Yes.
So what about just create a lot of AIs that just chat to themselves, social to themselves. Yeah. So that's Tripper.ai. There's other people just trying to do different kind of experiments on the real world impact of crypto. It's still early, but I'm quite bullish on the area as well. So we did have some investment financially or strategically in this area. That's one thing. Another thing is, I think we lack of good consumer apps.
Yes.
So we did an investment. We lead the first round of interface.social, which is a consumer crypto app. It's more like a crypto explorer, or ECM explorer. Like, you can track other people. You can saw whatever he or she did on chain. Follow Vitalik and try to figure out what he did. That's very interesting. We built something called Firefly as well. Firefly.land. It's similar concept, but more social. We not only invest, but we also build something ourselves. So definitely recommend the audience to try out interface.social, which is really good, and DJ Masui went. Firefly.land, which is more Masui social style, which is our something we built. There's some AI experiments we'd love to expand as well.
When it comes to all this social side of things of crypto, what's one contrarian view or non-mainstream view that you have?
That's very hard.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I just think about how hard it is to teach our grandma to use social apps. It's impossible. The educational effort, it's definitely not enough. Our parent company eventually going to be a nonprofit, right? Our parent company is offshore entity, and then we have a DAO. We have a DAO foundation
that
manages treasury. Yeah. In the last 2 years, we did many donations to the nonprofit and higher education system across the globe. We did some donation in Hong Kong, Taiwan, U.S., mostly public school, because private school, they're just too rich. Probably don't need our help. And we try to design different classes for them together. And they are really fascinating, amazing people. They try to tell the younger student.
Yes.
And during the bear market, everyone's focus transferred to AI. So I was thinking, AI is the next big thing. But still, there's a lot of young believers. They think, AI is great, definitely great. But decentralization is also extremely important. We should just combine the two things. Or say, AI is great, but like decentralization is masked, right? AI is like more like a plus. And we did many donations, and I think I don't expect this thing going to be very fruitful in 3 to 5 years, but in 10 years, maybe we witness the next Vitalik, because he got the grand donation and then he dropped out and created Vitalik. And maybe Satoshi is another drop out kid. Just we didn't find out, right? So we just did a lot of this kind of effort. That's something I expect more founder or more mature late stage project to do. It's just not enough right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. One case I heard recently about three co-founders, what they did was that because it's so important to do what you are doing And so what these three co-founders did is one would go and do a full-time job to sustain the other two. And they will take turns. Every 6 months, one will go and do consulting and other things. And this was their funding model because it's so hard. It's like you can't be full-time student or you can't be working full-time and then build a startup. And if it's hard to get funding without showing some traction, I think it was a genius. I forgot the name of the startup, but I recently read about them and their co-founder story. And I found that very interesting. There's so much I can talk with you. I know you have a lot of knowledge when it comes to natural language processing and lots of other things. But since we are running out of time, I have just one last question. And that is, what is your ask? Is there anything you're looking for? Are you looking to hire builders? Are you looking for projects to invest in? Anything, feel free to share with the community, with the people listening. And I'll put all the links in the show notes, wherever this goes.
Mm-hmm. We're expanding, we're hiring, we are helping, we're investing. And I think for most of the first-time founders and solo team, we're providing this Web3 social grant. We're more general, not only social, like only any cool use case. Every year, we provide around 2 to 4 million nonprofit donate to all these great founders. Not big ones, but definitely have a try. And we're also connected to larger foundations like Layer 2s. They are willing to do a lot of those grants. So for my opinion, my advice for a lot of the founders or entrepreneurs or people who are just interested in crypto or Web3 in general, apply and there's nothing to lose. And maybe you just have 5,000 to 20K airdrop in your address and you can just sell the token to pursue your dream. That's how we get started. And I think more people will follow this path eventually.
Yeah. Well, that's fantastic. That is very noble of you. And I'm sure a lot of things will be born out of it. Some things will be successful. Some things won't be as it is with any venture in any Web2, Web3. But I just want to wish you best of luck with everything that you're doing and everything that you're building with Mask, with Bonfire Union Fund, and with supporting all these amazing founders. So thank you so much, Suji, for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.